Julie Williams, narrator.
This is from The Look of Love by Bella Chase. He turned on his brights to see better in the pouring rain and realized there was a woman walking on the edge of the road.
Are you hurt?
She covered her cheek but shook her head.
No.
Something inside of Chase's chest clenched tight. Chase heard her say,
My car is definitely hurt.
Then he realized he had completely lost the thread of what he'd come out here to do. He jerked his thumb over his shoulder.
Get in my car. We can wait here for a tow truck.
But the woman didn't move. Instead, she gave him a look that said he was a complete and utter nut job.
I'm not getting into your car.
Wanting to make her feel safe, he held his hands up.
I'm not going to attack you. I swear I won't do anything to hurt you. I just want to help you.
And he did. More than it made sense to want to help a stranger.
Please, he said, let me help you.
She stared at him for a long moment, hail hammering between them, around them, and onto them. Chase found himself holding his breath, waiting for her decision. It shouldn't matter to him what she decided, but for some strange reason, it did. This is from Lord of the Ringless by D. Aspen. How far down? I only knew that it was far enough to get really hurt if I fell from this precarious position. I was leaning into the side of a huge block of ice known as the Franz Josef Glacier in New Zealand. I had no idea how to use the ice pick dangling awkwardly from my arm. I couldn't figure out how to advance from my current statue-like predicament, stuck on the side of a massive glacier. How did I even get this far across this giant snow cone over only a narrow single line of irregularly chipped steps carved into its face? My anxiety was at an all-time high. Whispering a prayer to God, I clung suspended in an eerie span of silence. Other than the sound of the icy rapids below and my breathing, I couldn't hear a sound. The thing I feared most was happening. This is from Sleep My Darlings by Diane Fanning. Next to it were five spent .38 caliber casings. Up one more step, his eyes scanned paperwork for the PSAT, bearing Calix's name. Nearing the top, he shouted,
Calix, are you here? Are you home?
He approached a desk in an open loft room outside the bedrooms where a computer chair sat in front of a gateway laptop. Darkened blood covered the seat of the chair, smeared on the armrest and back support, and ran down one of the legs. A single tooth lay on the floor next to the desk. The air was thick with the stench of fresh spilled blood and ominous apprehension. He turned the knob and pushed, entering the bedroom of 16-year-old Calix Scheniger.